WAIJ, can you copy me this evening? WA6DKD. Gets out, but he can't hear. You're getting out fine. You're getting into the repeater just hunky-dory, but are you able to hear anything? Well, it's two or three nights in a row he comes on and never gets answered. Or never replies to an answer.
I wonder, is he on simplex, maybe on the input frequency? Well, no, because I would hear him then. So maybe he's simplex in just 060, unless you're listening to the input, because he ain't key in the repeater.
Well, maybe he's listening up there. I don't know, I can reverse it and see. On QRZ with an email and send him an email. Thomas Radio works fine. One way, anyway.
I wouldn't know. I'm on crossband, so I can't listen to input or not. And, I was just kind of curious because I wasn't hearing him at all. So if you were hearing him, were you listening to the input on the repeater? Because I wasn't hearing him from the output.
Hearing them on the output of the repeater, I thought.
Your antenna's probably better than mine, and I wonder if it ain't Fry or somewhere else creeping in on 060.
No, he calls CQ, and he wants to test, and wants to know if anybody can hear him, and I don't know, but I'm pretty sure he's keying the repeater. Didn't he key the repeater tonight?
That's a no, sir. I did not hear him come through the repeater, because that's all I'm hearing on this, because I'm on an HT, but no, he wasn't. I never heard him there.
Well, I could have... Well, you'd think he could hear the repeater more than he could me, but... Oh, well, I don't know what to say. I'm at a loss. He don't come on long enough to track him down, so to speak.
Hi. Then there's a good chance you were hearing him there, maybe? I don't know. I don't know where you were hearing him. If you were hearing him on 660 or 060.
I'm listening only to the output.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about radio, but if I had to guess, I would say he's transmitting on 060 simplex somewhere close to you, because I definitely couldn't hear him. If it's strong coming in here, even on a crossband, even Fry or something, it'll pick up and crossband back to me.
Oh, yeah, he could have been on simplex, but I'm pretty sure he was. I thought he was on the repeater, but I did not check. But I can go there simplex and make a lot of noise, but I'll try that the next time I hear him. I'll pay closer attention, and I can go simplex on either end of this thing. So we'll just have to give that a go next time I hear him out there.
Yeah, and no telling what he's running or watts-wise. You know, you're running low watts to get into the repeater like I am. You know, if you're closer to him and you're hearing him, crank that sucker up on 060 simple. See if he maybe can't hear you.
Yeah, I just have to pay attention if he's simplex, and I assumed he was going through the repeater, but I can certainly switch over to simplex and turn the power up a bunch and aim it in the Norman direction and see if I can't rattle his cage.
Oh, I bet if you did that, you'd get him, because he ain't, like I said, he wasn't coming through the repeater tonight, anyway.
Okie dokie. Well, I wasn't paying that close attention. It just sounded like it to me without even really looking. But that's one thing you got to look at and hear. But anyhow, so your cleat, funny mustache thing didn't stay put, huh?
Oh, he took a deck box down there, the old box in the trailer. Ava had helped fix up and got that all going. She sat on my lap and used the mower to drive it down there. Worked like a champ. Had a swim ladder I installed. That's one thing I forgot to mention on the net. Anyway, I just took the box of deck screws that I had that I decked the whole thing with. They were like, I don't know, 2.5 inches coated screws. Anyway, and some extra washers for the stuff I mounted. Spread out the weight a little bit. And I had 6 stainless steel washers for the swim ladder, and it's there. I'll leave it there. Come winter time, I'll probably pull it, throw it in the deck box, just because it's it's got a nylon velcro-y thing that holds it up, and I'm sure that ain't gonna last a bunch of years out. You know, when we don't use it in the winter time, there ain't no chance of using it. I'll pull that thing up, throw it in the drawer, save all the UV and stuff on it. Mounted the box with 2 screws. That's all I really needed. I kicked it. I mean, I kicked it, and it didn't move, so I thought, hey, that's good enough for me. I just need a thing not to blow off the thing, and anything we set in, of course, will help. And I got one that locks, but, man, that little locking clamp thing that it's got is so cheesy. I would never put a lock on it. I'll throw a snap link or something through it just so that the wind doesn't ever blow it open and, drench everything in it. Bought a couple of cushions, which also are life preservers. But then I bought 2 thinking that'd be enough, but once we got there and we set them all up and tested it, we all both set on the thing and everything, and it's at least 3 life preservers wide, so I'll go buy an extra cushion sometime this next week. Otherwise, did all that, got down to putting the cleats on. They helped unwrap them, called them funny mustaches, and I started trying to drop screws through them to see what I'd take to bolt them on, and the screws dropped all the way through them, which means that the screw length I had ain't near long enough, so I'm going to have to put a washer or something on top and get much longer screws.
Okay, what kind of material are you screwing them into?
Well, I'll space them out, and so and I'll make sure I hit some meat underneath it, so basically the deck itself is like 5/4 deck board. It's like you build a deck out, and underneath it, especially along the edges, is just 2x4 treated. So, you know, you got an inch or so of deck material and another 2.5 inches, or inch and a half, structure underneath it. So I need at least that, plus the thickness of the funny mustache, plus a washer, because a regular drywall deck screw, size screw, they just go right to catch nothing, so... Say buy something crazy, big bolt something. I don't need that. I'll just buy some long ones, I guess, and stick a washer on top and call them good. But that's the only way I know to deal with it. Save buying some big old bolts or something. I don't think they're meant to be mounted. Once I got to looking at it, why the heck they have these things? They're cast iron and then galvanized, coated, hot dip galvanized. But the hole through the middle of them, they don't have a shoulder or anything inside of them to catch anything. So you got to run a screw bigger than what that is, which means those things are a couple inches tall, which means you need about a 4 or 5 inch long screw to make them work.
So, well, you get something long enough that'll screw into there and big something to turn it with and get it into some of that meat that's on your deck, and I'm sure that it ain't going to be going anywhere, at least not soon anyway.
Yeah, it's just a shame the way they made those. If they would have just, like I said, had a shoulder inside the little recessed cavity where the bolt goes, screw goes through, it would have made life really easy. But in hindsight, that ain't how. I I should have looked at them real close before I went out there, but I didn't. They were all in packaging, so I was like, just take the package and some screws and screw gun. Anyway, I will work that out. So I need enough screws to screw them down that are really long and some washers to make the screw bigger than the hole. It holds them, I guess, or get some big old lugs or something, you know, some lag bolts, which I think would be overkill.
Yeah, you might have to drill some of the meat out of the deck to get something that big in there, but I'm sure you'll find something adequate that'll reach through there and get a hold of something, and you'll be down silly. And yeah, I don't know why there's not a shoulder on the inside of that. Would certainly have helped. But anyhow, you'll get her figured out and be able to tie it down, or tie something to it, or it to, or something, and you'll be all smooth sailing, so to speak.
Yeah, we'll figure it out, and this thing ought to be tonight, but we'll get the oldest one. She starts school on the 17th, so in a couple of weeks and some change. Kind of weird they started like a Thursday or Friday to start school, because I'm going to do nothing to go let off her. But yeah, I guess Mama went and fulfilled the list of stuff they give you before they show up, and it's almost $100 worth of stuff. So much for that.
Well, that was one of the surprises we got when we moved from California to Texas, and then here, was in California, you pack up junior or juniorette and send her or him off to school with a kindergarten. They had no lunchbox involved, but first grade or whatever, because they only went half a day at that time. But now, and then the first grade was full. But anyhow, you didn't buy any school anything except a lunchbox or a couple of change coins to take care of lunch. And they had nutrition there where you could get milk or something, a graham cracker, in the middle of the morning anyway. But anyhow, you don't buy anything. There is no school supplies.
I found that odd, and then when you look at the entire list of stuff and the giant box of stuff we've got to take in a couple of weeks, it just came in today. Two of the boxes out of the seven came in, and one of them's a pretty big box, and we still got a few little incendiaries that are going to be coming in the next few days. I thought, dear God, you know, you got to take all that stuff, and then you see the people on the news going, oh, we're buying all the school supplies out of our back pocket, and I'm like, I don't see how, because I guarantee you half of what they asked for. Okay, one of them was glue sticks. I don't see her going through seven glue sticks in the next year.
Yeah, a bunch of the stuff like that, Kleenexes and pencils and pens and papers and stuff like that. Yeah, I don't fully understand either. I think what they're referring to is little extra stuff, little art supplies or... oh, who knows what, a computer mouse or some darn thing. Who knows, but anyhow, there is quite a bunch of stuff that the schools do not supply, at least out here. And I'm not sure what California does now, but as much money as people spend in taxes, I don't know if they started adding school supplies or not. I haven't been there recently to find out. But anyhow, they do it here, and it is quite a list. They got quite a list. I know the local stores will have all the local schools listed so that you know what to get in case you forgot the paper that was that they gave you at school.
Now, it's not even going to taxes, but yeah, it's I look at this list, I think, there ain't no way my daughter's going to use seven glue sticks in the next year, but I think what they do is they stick it all out there, see what, you know, throw the list out there, see what sticks, and share amongst everyone that doesn't show up with anything, I guess. And, you know, you put taxes into it between what I pay here and especially what I pay at the store. property taxes, and like 70-something% of it goes to just to schools. The other 30% is to general fund, roads and bridges, all that. I could buy her a one heck of a really nice private education. So maybe one of these days, if we're ever lucky, and I doubt it'll ever happen, but they don't want to give it up, money, power, and all that stuff. But if they'd ever go to vouchers like they do in Texas and Florida and a lot of these other states, I would be all over it 6 ways from Sunday.
Oh, yeah. You start cutting down the attendance to the normal schools, and they quickly figure out, well, why are they going over there? Maybe we better change our attitude here or something like that. But anyhow, very good. You'll be able to enjoy the homework and getting her off to school and all that kind of stuff. And that'll certainly be a lot of entertainment right there in itself.
WB5Q.
Well, hello, John. You're back.
Yeah, temporarily I'm back. I'll be here for, probably another 10 days or so, and then I'm going to head back to the mountains, and I'll be back out. I'll be home probably at the end of October. I had to come home. A good friend of ours who is a state legislator passed away suddenly, so I had to come home for that, and just kind of go from there. It was kind of a tough one, losing my wife in October and losing this really, really close friend of ours about, 10 days ago now.
Yeah, now that you mentioned it, I remember that now, and I just didn't hear you on the nets. Anyway, at least not tonight anyway. And there was a concern here a week or three ago about one of the fires in your neck of the woods up there. I don't know how close or how far away, but it was in your neck of the woods somewhere. There was a fire, I understand.
Roger. The fire started actually in the very early days of June, and it was at an area called Ute Park, like U-T-E Park. And Ute Park is probably a good 15 miles, give or take, away from us to the east, and it actually didn't burn anything in the village of Ute Park. It burned it all south and west a little bit. So in Eagle Nest in the Moreno Valley, for the first week or so that I was out there, or actually maybe the first 2 weeks, there was a lot of smoke a lot of the time, but we didn't have any fire. It never crossed the mountains, but it did manage to shut down Philmont totally.
Oh, did it burn any of Philmont, or just close enough to shut them down?
Actually, there was an area just to the west of Philmont proper, of their property, that they had purchased, and it is called Cimarron Sita, and they purchased this from the girls, from a girls group, not the Scouts or anything, but the Girl Scouts bought it, and it burned 11 outbuildings over there. But you figure this much, they were planning on tearing them down anyway and rebuilding them, so I guess they got insurance money out of that.
All right, kind of a dual-purpose darn it or something of that nature, but hey, I got rid of it for them. And, of course, ruined all the brush around it, I'm sure. But in a year or two, it will be back.
Did you have the opportunity to go up to the Ham Fest this past weekend? I didn't see you, but there were so many people there, I couldn't tell if I just missed you.
No, I was unable to attend this year. I kind of had to stick around the house.
I hadn't been to that Ham Fest in probably 4 years, maybe, give or take, maybe even five. But I think it's greatly improved, but my understanding is that they are talking now about moving it again, and that there's apparently a venue up around Covell Road, you know, just slightly, or in Edmond, or just slightly north of Edmond, where they're going to do it next year, and because the venue this year told Cora, if memory serves, that there were going to be about $10,000 to rent the property next year because they've got new owners. And Cora said, I think we can find something for less than $10,000.
Yeah, I don't know the prices of things, but yeah, it was sold to Embassy Suites, and the price of the room doubled. Whatever you had to pay for Saturday is twice that now, because I think the changeover was like Monday yesterday. But anyhow, the expense changed a bunch. I was unaware that they had a place seriously in mind, but I know they have a few to check on. So we will find out in due time, I am sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, like I said, I hadn't been there in a number of years, but I was very impressed. They've done a good job, and I'm going to be very interested in September, on the 21st through the 23rd, I'm going down to Albuquerque. I have never been to the Duke City Ham Fest, so I've got a whole carload full of very, very nice radios and equipment. I'm going to take it out there and set up a table, and I'm also a member of the Taos Amateur Radio Club, so I purchased a table for that club as well, so they'll bring some stuff and put it down there. So I won't be down there among people I don't know. You know, I'm sure once I leave, I'll know a lot of people, but that's a pretty big event, I understand.
I don't know. Never been to any of their ham things there. The only one I belong to is... Well, the club I belong to out in California and Arizona, they have two ham fest meetings, get-togethers, or whatever, one in California and one up at Flagstaff. One in the summertime, one kind of in the winter. Summertime for Flagstaff. But anyhow, it's kind of nifty neat, and I'm glad Philmont survived, and a little bit on the edges there, so anyhow. And don't forget, we got DJ still in here, trying to float his boat or modifying his boat stuff. But anyhow, sound like you're going to have a lot of fun. And if I was still traveling, I'd be able to drop by and see you, I am sure, somewhere.
Oh, absolutely. When I'm out there, anybody who wants to come is more than welcome to come. I mean, that's the whole point of having a house out there where you can just kick back and you don't have to do anything, or you can do as much as you want to do. So it's kind of nice, because some days you don't want to do anything but sit out on the back deck and look at the lake and enjoy the beautiful views and have a nice beer of your choice, or whatever you choose to have as a drink. And as for me, you know, sit back with a Cuban cigar and occasionally wander into the radio room and do stuff like that. The only thing that's been disappointing is conditions. Like today, I listened to the bands today, and it was just flat dead.
Come and go, and go all over the place. From 20 meters is good and bad, and 10 comes and goes, and et cetera. So anyhow, it's a little sparse in between, but oh well, it is the bottom of the cycle, and it just hadn't been real spiffy. A little sporadic E here and there. No F-layer stuff on 10 anyway. 15's been really quiet, so, because I guess the sporadic E doesn't get to 10 or 15, but it sure wakes up 10 on occasion.
That's true. And the only activity, believe it or not, I found is a little tiny bit on 40 today. And then there was a fair amount of activity, although it was really hard to hear, but there was activity on 6. And, you know, that's wild. I mean, sometimes 6 is all the way there, and other times it's just dead.
Yeah, I think it's dead more often than not. But anyhow, once it gets going, though, it will reach out there. I know I got on 6 by mistake. I was testing or something, and I ended up working a guy out in Nevada on 6, and I don't even try that band. I was just testing something anyhow and worked him, and we got to chit-chatting some, and I ended up working him on 2 meters, so I thought that was really cool.
Roger, I want to come down sometime and see your setup down there, because you do a lot on 2 meter sideband, and that's always been very interesting to me. I've got a 2 meter beam now, and I'm gonna put that thing vertical, and see what I can do with it. But I just still have to get a rotor.
Yeah, they can be found. Actually, most of my DX has come in on FM, and very little on sideband, actually. I don't seem to do really very good on sideband. I mean, I have reached out, but not very much. Most of it's been on FM.
Roger. Well, you were carrying on a conversation with the other gentleman, so why don't you see if he's still there. I don't want to occupy the frequency when you guys were going after it, so go ahead.
Okie dokie. DJ, you stick with us?
Nice evening, and glad you're in there, and I'm glad you're back in town, even though it's for unfortunate reasons. And I just can't imagine walking down that road. Anyway, at some point, I guess we all do. Anyway, that's that for me, but yeah, and I don't know, Taos, there's another place up there. We got a friend of the family that owns a place and on some mountain, and man, it's something else. And about a year ago, my sister went up there with her whole family and stuff. And I think my dad even went in there for a week of their vacation. And they said, oh, man, just come use this place. It's free. And it's just some mammoth thing. And he said, oh, it's free, but you got to pay the month's worth of homeowners association kind of. It's called something else up there, maintenance something. And then, of course, then there's a couple of full-time employees, so you got to pay them. And I looked at that number, and I thought it's a little out of my budget.
Roger. Well, you know what they say. Then it's not free, is it? But if my place, for example, you just show up, and I'll put you in a place to sleep that's warm in the nighttime, because it gets pretty doggone cold at 8,400 feet. But I'll put you up, no problem, and you might have to chip in and buy a can of beans every so often, but if you want to come, hey, more the merrier. I did field day from 10,000 feet, so that was fun.
Well, that'd be fun. And the summertime visit might be more in a place. Our wintertime visit, they're doing the same thing in South Texas. I just haven't quite wrapped my head around loading my whole family up in a car and driving 12 hours. Flying would be not really an option, especially taking a 100-pound dog. But anyway, we might drive down there in the middle of winter because it is warm down there. But it won't be $4,000 for a week. It'll be, fill the refrigerator. I'll buy all the food, and I cook like crazy. Just give me the right stuff to cook with, and I'll go to town on that deal and have a good time. So we might meet them. I think the one down there is 11 bedrooms, and they said, well, if enough people clear out, you guys ought to come down this last week, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, we'll see. Let me know how many rooms are available, because I might even take the in-laws with us in caravan, so that'd be fun, because I'd rather have two cars going one direction driving that far, save a problem. But absolutely, I could totally enjoy the mountains in the middle of summertime and cool off a little bit.
Roger. Well, I'll tell you what. Eagle Nest is a very, very nice place, and my wife's grandfather, actually my wife,